This is the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? We say it constantly. But, I don't know, this time of year it's really busy. It's cold, and I know it got that cold in Southern Illinois as it did last week. I told my family when I drove out to the church it was -8 degrees the other day. I was thinking I was back in New York. It's dark really early. It's full of anxiety. Grief weighs heavy. The stores are all mobbed, and the money seems to get really tight. And if that's wonderful, I don't want to know what the most frustrating time of the year looks like. And I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, wow, Pastor, you just went from giving out teddy bears to taking a nosedive into being a bummer. But things on that first Christmas, up until the birth of Jesus, weren't exactly going great. We'll get back to talking about that, but first let me read these words from Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. These are the words that Matthew quotes in his gospel. He's informing the Jews that Jesus was the one predicted of, and that he is the Emmanuel, God with us. Many of you are familiar with Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 22. It's when the angel appears to Joseph in a dream, and he tells Joseph that Mary is pregnant with the one that will be called the Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And that phrase, we always seem to throw those two things together, right? Emmanuel, God with us. We always seem to define it because the Bible does. The God incarnate, the Son who is God, born human, that he would die on a cross for our sins. It's explained to us as in John 1 as the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In fact, when we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, what we're really doing is celebrating in a form of dramatic irony. Because we know the full significance of the character's words and actions. We know it, but the characters in the story don't. We know that the birth of Christ is not a celebration simply because God came to earth as a man, but a celebration because God came to earth as a man and rescued us from our sin. In Matthew 1, chapter 18 through 23, it says this. The birth of Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. In today's culture, it's easy to downplay or excuse sin. But to God, all sin is sin and goes against his holiness and his love for us. It's rebellion against our Creator. The Bible makes it clear that without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement for sin. And the most common sacrifice was a lamb without blemish. And as one final sacrifice, Christ was sent to take our place in death and bloodshed. And just as he arose victorious from the grave, so we have victory in our lives through him. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Emmanuel, that God is with us. It reminds us of the things to be thankful for and to celebrate and worship God for all that he has done for us. This is the most wonderful time of the year, not because of the weather, not because of the stress, not because you have to put up with that family member that you really don't like, but because of Christ, and because of the reminder that God is with us. We often think of the Emmanuel at Christmas time. It's our reminder of what God did, that he did come to earth, that he did save us, that God was with us. However, we know the end of the story. And I think we need a reminder that the Emmanuel not only was God with us, but still is God with us. We've looked at the first chapter of Matthew, but let's look at the final chapter of Matthew. In fact, the final four verses of the book of Matthew, this is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus promised his disciples that he would always be with them until the very end of the age. And today we should live our lives by that same commission given to the disciples, and Christ's promise still rings true, that he is with us through the end of the age. Today, Emmanuel lives out through the Holy Spirit with us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit guided the Israelites through the desert, protected and took care of people, gave power to people to perform miracles when needed, and turned the tides of battles. He freed captives and took care of their needs. In the New Testament, Jesus walked with the disciples, teaching them and protecting them, performing miracles, freeing captives. He protected the disciples through storms and Pharisee trials. Jesus took care of their needs. And he died so that they and us could experience freedom from sins, and then promised to continue to be with them through the Holy Spirit. Today, God with us is lived out through the Spirit, who lives in us. He protects us and guides us, and it's through him that we're given grace and we can have a closer relationship with God than ever before. It is through God with us that we have experienced salvation and get to experience the continuation of God with us. Through God with us, we experience joy and peace in our lives. Christmas is not only a reminder that God was with us, but that he is still with us today. You've probably heard the phrase, keeping Christ in Christmas. It's a great reminder during the holiday season of how we should live our lives and keep Christ as the focal point of the holidays, because we could be easily distracted. But church, Christ is with us all year. Christ is not only with us at Christmas time. And we should keep him as a focal point, not only today, but every day. What makes this time of year different, though? Why do some people feel more spiritual around Christmas or Easter? It's not because God is more with us during those times, but rather because we're more with him. Let me explain. God always has, is, and will be around. God could be no closer to us than, as the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. God is with us. He is for us. But we aren't always with and for him. We turn our backs. We sin. We put other things above God in our lives. Now, these are not new issues. Sinning, struggling, frustration, busyness, family, friends, money, and all those other things we face in our lives are not new. We are not the first to deal with them, and we will likely not be the last. And at the first Christmas, when God came to be with us, there was a lot happening. There's a lot of stress and anxiety going on. People were traveling all around. None of them were where they were supposed to be. One of the things that I think about is Joseph and Mary are in the stable, in the barn, And we often think of this like really peaceful scene where it's just Joseph and Mary. But if Joseph and Mary were there, chances are there were other people also there with them. They probably weren't the only ones staying in the barn. They were probably crammed in there like cattle. The Israelites were under Roman rule. They had their own struggles and sins, and God was not speaking with them. In fact, last week we talked about the 400 years of silence between the last prophet and when Gabriel gave his message around the Christmas story to a priest named Zechariah. And in that moment, when Gabriel shows up, I imagine all of creation took a deep breath that day and held it in anticipation of what was about to happen. Because the Emmanuel brought with him hope, peace, love, and grace, the very grace that because of which we experience salvation. And so when we think of this as the most wonderful time of year, we know that it's because we experience those things because of Christ. In English, a period represents the finality of a sentence. It's completed when you put a period on it. A semicolon represents a pause. And I imagine that that's what happened in the Christmas story. They all knew what was coming. And there was this pause, this held breath, this moment of anticipation for God with us, for the Messiah and all that he would bring. And Christmas is our reminder that God is with us still. And today, God is with us. This week, as we celebrate that second phrase connected to the semicolon, the Emmanuel, God with us, that we no longer have to wait. We no longer wait in anticipation. But here in the small town of Fairfield, Illinois, we get to experience God with us, his love and his peace and his hope and his grace, that those in that small town called Bethlehem eagerly waited in anticipation for 2,000 years ago. At this time, would you stand and join me in a word of prayer? And as you do, I'm going to invite Cameron and the musicians to come on up, and they're going to lead us here in a moment. Father, we thank you for God with us. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for his birth. And yes, we know the end of the story. Yes, we look forward to Easter and what it means, but we also thank you that you came and you dwelt among us, that you know what it is to be human, to experience what we've experienced, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is with us. Father, we thank you for your love and your hope and your grace, and as we move into the Christmas season, may we not just move over past those things. May we focus on them. May we allow them to be shown in the way that we live our lives. And Father, as we prepare to leave this place this morning, we pray for those who are traveling. We pray for safe travels, and we pray for friends and for family as we gather. And may you bless this week and bless the fellowship that we'll have throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen.